Hey everyone, it is good to see all of you. I'd love for you to take your Bible out, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting a new chapter today in our walk through the book, the letter of 1 Corinthians, following Jesus in a fallen world. And this is an interesting section of Scripture. It really emphasizes the importance of using spiritual gifts, which we've been talking about, but it emphasizes it in a different way. And Paul is going to let us know that, hey, we want to do this in a way that people can understand and that people will be built up by the way that we do this. And what Paul really does in this, as we kind of do an overview of this just for a second here, is Paul's writing that this idea of prophecy is more excellent than speaking in tongues, as it builds up the church. It edifies believers. And he notes that the goal of using all spiritual gifts, all of the gifts that God gives us, is to benefit others, not to show off abilities or anything like that. One of the things that I love about this group of people that are up here every single week, and as you notice, we keep adding different people and new people, and it's fun to see all of that and how God blesses that. But I get to know their heart. I get to know who they are being up here and being with them. These people are in it for the right reason. They are. They are allowing their gifts and talents to benefit others. And it is not a show for them. It's not. And I hope that comes across, because they get here early. They get here at 8 o'clock in the morning to practice, because we practice before the first Bible hour, and then they come back over here, and they're here. Most of them are here, like you see, every week or every other week, and we're blessed. But it all goes to building up the church. Building it up, because we are giving Him the glory, Him the praise. And it's all done, and Paul is going to let us know this in the verses here, it's all done in love and humility when we use our spiritual gifts correctly. And Paul warns, hey, do not be selfish about these things. Do not be divisive about these things. And he encourages in this for those of us who are believers to seek to understand, to interpret the gifts of others rather than simply just focusing on ourselves. So let's dive in, okay? Verses 1 through 3, Paul starts off where he's letting us know that prophecy speaks to men, tongues speak to God. Verse 1, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and encouragement. And so Paul launches into this section of this letter saying, be zealous for spiritual gifts. And as we've walked through this letter, we know that the church in Corinth, they were zealous for some gifts. Boy, they loved speaking in tongues. They loved some of these gifts. And then there's this gift of prophecy. And many people misunderstand this gift of prophecy. As a lot of people think, okay, it's all about predicting the future. And we've mentioned this before, I want to mention it again. While knowing something about the future may sometimes have been an aspect of this gift, it's primarily a gift of proclamation. So there's two words. There's foretelling and forthtelling. You may want to write those down to remember this. A gift of proclamation is forth-telling. not prediction, which is foretelling. And what we see here is that a pastor, a teacher who declares the Bible can be declared one who prophesies in the fact that he is speaking the counsel of God, from the counsel of God, speaking forth. So with the completion of the New Testament canon, prophesying changed from declaring new revelation to declaring the completed revelation God has already given. And prophecy was best because it built up the church. It gave the listeners encouragement, comfort, something that everyone needs. And from the very beginning of the church, when we see embedded in these three verses this idea of prophesying and speaking in tongues, once again, from the very beginning of the church, tongues were known languages, recognized by the listener as a known language. The tongue would be unknown to the speaker and to the listeners who do not know that language. But it was not unknown in the world. Does that make sense? And Paul was concerned, this is very interesting, Paul was concerned that the excessive tongue speaking in the church would convince the lost that Christians were crazy. We'll deal with that in a second. Did you guys know that today's the day of Pentecost in the church calendar? Kind of an appropriate thing to talk about right now. At Pentecost, the believers extolled the wonderful works of God. But Peter preached the gospel in Aramaic, so his listeners could all understand. The believer who speaks in a tongue speaks to God in praise and worship, but the believer who prophesies shares the word of God with the church, helps those that are listening. This leads to this contrast there in verses 4 and 5, where prophesying edifies the church, tongues only edifies the speaker, as it says in verse 4. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies what? The church. But I wish you all spoke in tongues. So that is interesting. So that implies what? Not everyone does. There are groups out there that teach that if you really have the Spirit in you, you must speak in tongues. That goes against what Paul just says right there. He says, I wish, that'd be great. Wouldn't, and I've said this before, I would love to walk into some place, somewhere in the world, and all of a sudden, God goes, boop, you're speaking a language that you do not know, and the people there are like, whoa, dude. I wish that, but as Paul says here, even more, prophesy. Forthtelling. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he translates so that the church may receive edification. Paul did not deny the value of speaking in tongues to the speaker, but he did place a greater value on building the church through prophecy. Unless the tongues are interpreted, the message really doesn't do any good for the church. Paul pointed out that an interpreter must be present with the gift of tongues being exercised. Now keep in mind that the members of the church in Corinth did not sit like you are right now with Bibles on your laps or your apps. Yes, the Bible was being written. Old Testament scrolls were accessible, but not really. They were super expensive. Not available to most believers then. God spoke to his people directly through the prophets then, and the message was sometimes given in a tongue. The three gifts, kind of like the grace gifts of knowledge, prophecy, and tongues, worked together to convey the truth to the people, as we see here. And Paul emphasized the importance of doctrinal teaching in the church. So if you go to the front page of our website, it tells you some of the distinctives that we are as a church. And there's a reason we come up with those. It didn't just come up in a, you know, a little group study session of like, what would we like to be like as West Hills Church? It's from Scripture. We need to be about the preaching and teaching of God's Word, doctrinal teaching, our worship, the music that we sing has to be based on truth, or it becomes some superstitious emotionalism type of funny stuff. If you ever wondered, how do I figure out if a song that I'm hearing maybe on the radio that's you know, there's good Christian music on the radio that was never meant to be sung in a church. You need to understand that. Two different things. And one of the things you have to do is you have to be able to discern, all right, when I'm singing this, can others, because it's not all about me, can others that hear these words discern that I'm actually speaking to God and praising him? Or if I don't listen real carefully, it sounds like I'm singing to my wife or girlfriend. Those types of things. It's like a love song. To who? It needs to have doctrinal truth based on the truth. We need to know what we believe then. We need to know why we believe it. And Paul shared this truth with the church, and that's through this being a prophet, a forth teller. And it builds up, it edifies the assembly. The person speaking in tongues, unless there's an interpreter, is enjoying the worship of God, but it's not edifying the church. Personal moment from me, your pastor, to West Hills Church. I try with all of my being to communicate biblical truth every sentence. I really do. My aim is what Paul is talking about here, to build up the church, to build up believers. And I'm not talking like build up, whoop, whoop. I'm talking build up, I know what I believe and in whom I believe. This is not entertainment. A ministry that does not build up, you know what it does? It tears down. It's one or the other. No matter how spiritual it could seem, if it does not build up in the ways and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, it ends up tearing down because people drift. When we explain and apply the Word of God to individual lives, we have a ministry of edification. And Paul jumps into three illustrations on that then. He's like, if you need some illustrations, I'm going to give you some. Starting in verse 6, three simple illustrations about musical instruments, a bugle call. I had a staff asking me if I was going to bring my trumpet out today. And I was like, no, because I think that would be more entertainment, like ha-ha, he stinks, than anything else. And then daily conversation. Musical instruments, bugle call, daily conversation. Verse 6. But now, brothers, I come to you speaking in tongues. What will I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? Yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in their tones, how will you know what is played on the flute or on the harp? For if the trumpet produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also you, unless you utter by the tongue a word that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are perhaps a great many kinds of sounds in the world, and none is without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of the sound, I will be to the one who speaks a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. We'll explain that barbarian word in just a moment. How many of you have been to a beginner's concert with kids? I already know some. And there's this precious Jimmy up there with his instrument. There is some sort of sound coming from that instrument, although no one recognizes what that is. No one recognizes the tune. And you know how uncomfortable that can be. Okay, Grandma, you know that song I did? Oh yeah. It was awesome. And all the while you're like, where's the program? I need to know what song that was. You know how uncomfortable it feels when a performer does not play the right note because the instrument is out of tune or they don't know it. It's an indistinct sound. You have no clue what's going on. See what Paul's getting at? If the bugler is not sure whether he's calling retreat or charge, you can be sure none of the soldiers will know what to do either. Especially when he does a combination of the two. Half of them will rush forward while the other half run back. The call had to be a clear one if it was to be understood. 1 Corinthians 14:10 gives us a good reason to believe when Paul wrote about tongues here, he's referring to known languages, not some heavenly language. Each language is different, and yet each language has its own meaning. So you see what's going on here. No matter how sincere a speaker may be, if I do not understand his language, I cannot communicate with him. To the Greeks, then, a barbarian was the lowest person on the social order. In fact, anyone who was not a Greek was considered a barbarian. Someone that had no ability to communicate. So the musician, the bugler, the everyday conversationalist cannot be understood unless their messages are communicated in a manner that is meaningful to the listener. Having illustrated this principle of understanding, Paul then goes, okay, so there's three of these illustrations here. I am going to apply it to three different people. First, he applies that principle of understanding to the speaker himself in verses 12 through 15. So also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may translate. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. He's reminding the Corinthians that it's better to be a blessing to the church than to experience some kind of personal spiritual excitement. If a believer speaks in a tongue, his spirit, this is key, dig into your Bibles there. Hopefully you see something there. Spirit's not capitalized. Inner person may share in the experience, but the mind is not part of the experience. It is not wrong to pray or sing in the Spirit, but it is better to include the mind and understand what you're praying or singing. That word Spirit is not referring to the Holy Spirit. It is referring to the inner person. So when someone accidentally says, well, we're going to sing in the Spirit, and they think it means we're going to sing in the Holy Spirit, that's actually not what that verse is referring to there. Just so you know. You need to understand what you were saying. So what is the speaker to do? You must ask God for the interpretation of the message. Paul assumed that there would be an interpreter that would be present, or that the speaker himself would have the gift of interpretation. And all of this discussion emphasizes once again the superiority of prophecy over tongues. Prophecy does not need interpretation and can therefore be a blessing to everyone. Then the second group is other believers in the assembly in verses 16 through 20. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the uninformed say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? For you're giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. All right, I'll give you a little hint on this, little story. Have you ever been around someone that is a very quiet prayer person? And so you could be somewhere in the room and it's a group prayer and someone's like, and then you hear someone say, amen. And in my mind, I'm going, you have no idea what you're saying amen to. You're just assuming it was okay. You see what Paul's getting at there? Also, that does say that saying amen in church is not frowned upon. And see, you could hear me. Anyway. Where you are giving thanks well enough, by the other person is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind so that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Can Paul give any sort of huge difference in priority? Man, if I could just say five words that everyone understands. And you're like, Scott, you're up to like 20,000. Are we done? No. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Rather, in evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be mature. Matter of priorities. The child there, the unlearned person, probably a new believer, someone that was coming into the assembly that day, just like, hey, I have tried everything else in the world, you know, that pagan temple down the road, been there, done that, doesn't work, it's fake, right? It's the exact same thing that goes on today. Been there, done that, tried that, it doesn't work. Well then, quality communication of God's word allows people to grow. You cannot be edified or grow unless you understand what is being said. So Paul does not oppose tongues, but he's putting it in the perspective of, hey, here's what's going on. The Corinthians were acting like children playing with toys. to them, they were being babies in their spiritual understanding. He wanted them to be mature. Now, it's interesting. Some people, some churches will teach that, once again, if you do not speak in tongues, that you that you're not mature. They'll say things like that. If you do not speak in a tongue, it's evidence of spiritual immaturity. And Paul is actually going, it's actually very possible to exercise the speaking in tongues and actually any gift in an unspiritual and immature way. Last application Paul looks to is the unsaved person. When that person comes into the assembly during a time of worship, verse 21, in the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So the tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues, and uninformed men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your mind? You see, it is possible for an unsaved person to come into a service and before the interpretation was given, think that that whole assembly was absolutely crazy. Tongues were actually not used for evangelism at Pentecost. Did you know that? They had a message, and Paul's explaining what the message was for in this quote in verse 21. From Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12, it's a reference of an invading Assyrian army whose barbaric language the Jewish people would not understand. The presence of this tongue was evidence then of God's judgment on the nation. And God would rather speak to his people, yes, in a clear language that they could understand, and he did, but the repeated sins made it impossible. He had spoken to them through his messengers in their own tongue, and they would not repent. Now he had to speak in a foreign language, and this meant judgment. And as a nation, the Jewish people were always seeking a sign, right? We need to see the sign. We need to see the sign. At Pentecost, the fact that the apostles spoke in these tongues was a sign to the unbelieving Jewish people who were there celebrating the feast at that time. The miracle of tongues aroused their interest, but it did not convict their hearts. Go read Acts 2. The radar went up. But the conviction happened when? When Peter gave the sermon. In Aramaic, which was the common language of the people of that time, and it brought them to a place of conviction and conversion. That is when they said, what must we do to be saved? Go read it. It wasn't when the tongues were happening, the tongues going on, and all of a sudden they were like, what must we do to be saved? The tongues pointed them to the sign, the preachers that were there told them about God and his love for them through Jesus Christ. That built them up. But you see how it all works together? They're not meant to be separate. They're not meant to just be one thing. Once again, the private use of spiritual gifts may edify the user, but it will not edify the church. How many of you enjoy watching a really cool building being renovated, being rebuilt. Well, verses 24 and 25 talk about that. But if all prophecy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. The beauty of a church being built or rebuilt. When gifts are used for the purpose of edification, the result is that the message of the gospel rings clear and true. Unbelievers and believers alike. As God's word is declared, we experience conviction. We recognize the way in which we are out of step with God's will. We are then called to account. We are not allowed to remain unmoved or unaffected. The secrets of our hearts are going to be disclosed. We are not straining to be understood, but we realize that we have been understood at the deepest level. And what do? We fall on our faces. We assume a posture of humility, repentance, and recognize that God is present in his word. We worship God. We turn away from self. We place God at the center of our lives. God is really among you there in verse 25. That's really never been in doubt in this whole passage. The question was simply whether or not the reality was clear. We can be certain that the church will be rebuilt from the rubble that we create because God is really among us. Our edifying and upbuilding of the church is based upon God and his building work. We are parts of a building of which Christ is the cornerstone. It is Christ who builds the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. As it says in Matthew 16, 18, if the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, what makes us think that our failures are going to cause it to crumble? Jesus is not under any illusions about the church. He built it on a broken rock, Peter. He used a broken person, Paul, to proclaim. It is Christ who builds the church. Can I share a pet peeve with you? I hear this phrase all the time, and every time I hear it, it grates on me because it's theologically not true. We're always one generation from losing the church. Every part of me wants to scream, "How dare you think that you're so powerful?" If Jesus is the cornerstone, if Jesus is the one that builds the church, no matter how bad we are at building it, oh, it's going to be built. And it's going to be glorious. And our job is whether we're clear or not on what's happening. And this build-up term, we'll look more at it next week in verse 26, but this edifying, it's an architectural term. Paul mixes that in, uses architectural terms of building up, and also organically the vitality of growth, edification of the church members. But it reminds me of Ephesians chapter 2. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. See, this is unbelievers, this is people that do not know the Lord, but you are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Oh, and by the way, this time the Spirit is capitalized. He's saying that if you want to know what it means to be tightly knit and joined together as a body, you must know that all the building blocks of this big structure, this big temple, the church, are birthed from Jesus himself. He's the cornerstone. And when we understand that everything is built on him and our relationship to one another through him, it will continue to be built in the way that he has called it to be built. And you know what? There's really nothing more beautiful than when you see someone come to understand what these gifts are all about and what God has given them gifts for and how it all plays a part in the building of God's church. It's beautiful to see someone speaking the truth in love and the listener gripped by loving truth. Kind of the, have you ever been around someone that all of a sudden just gets it as far as what the Lord's done for them? Have you ever been at one of those moments? It's pretty awesome. When someone says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he is my Lord and Savior, and I will follow him all the days of my life until he takes me home. And you go, yes! That's what it's about. Edifying, building up the church, using the gifts, the gift of prophecy, using the gift of tongues to get the message out there to then get them to hear the word of God. The goal of using spiritual gifts is to benefit others. Love and humility are essential when using spiritual gifts. And the use of spiritual gifts is not a matter of personal preference, but it's a matter of obedience to God's will and letting him work through your life to build his church. Lord, we thank you for this time together this morning.